Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Welcome to our program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. As we launch a new year, our program over the next 3 months will concentrate on what I like to call the six R's of midlife renewal. The first R is New Year's resolutions. We introduce you to a genuine resolutions that work. Our second R is retirement, how to prepare for yours to ensure a joyful, stress-free retirement despite political and economic concerns that we're all under these days. The third R is relationships, how to strengthen your marriage, family ties, and other existing relationships, and how to make satisfying new ones during the new year. The fourth R we'll talk about is recharging of small business or of your place of employment so that going to work becomes as pleasurable as your hours at play. The fifth R we'll talk about over the next 3 months is re-energizing your body and spirit through a new health and exercise regimen for 2013. You're only as old as you feel. And remember, it's hard to renew spirit with an overweight or anemic, low-energy body. And the sixth R we'll talk about is recovery from one of life's inevitable traumas, death of a loved one, job loss, business failure, or a health issue. We've all been faced with these in our lives, and we'll talk about how we can get over those and move on to a happy, joyful, and stress-free second half of life. Remember, our goal for you is a second half filled with peace, accomplishment, and serenity. And we begin our journey through the R's with this week and next week. We'll talk about New Year's resolutions, why so few succeed, and why yours can. Well, here we are early in the month of January 2013. Have you broken any of your New Year's resolutions yet? If you're like the old me, you may have broken at least one, like the one to avoid eating calorie-packed desserts within the first week. Our two guests today are willing to wager that if you're like most of us, you'll abandon all your New Year's resolutions by Valentine's Day. In fact, they assert that New Year's resolutions are a waste of time, and they actually may backfire. From personal experience, I'd have to agree. After making and breaking resolutions, I berated myself for lack of strength and discipline, and I usually felt worse than when I had started. Resolutions broken certainly don't build self-esteem. Today we're going to talk about why New Year's resolutions so often fail and what you can do to make a genuine fresh start in 2013 to a joyful and productive second half of life. Get out of that rut, wake up to life, and stop asking yourself, "What's wrong with me?" and start seeking real positive change. Our guests today are John Satin and Chris Pate, possibility coaches. They're also business consultants and emotional healers, and they're co-authors of a fascinating book, Living an Inspired, Empowered, and Joy-Filled Life, 365 Daily Tips to Get You There. Long name, but great results. Hello, gentlemen, and welcome to our program.
Hi, Roy. Great to be here today.
To begin, please explain why, as you put it, 97% of resolution makers sabotage the results they want. And how did you get that 97%?
Well, it wasn't the result of an extensive study. However, we have found that 3% of the population tends to get the desired results. So with that said, we figured that 97% of the population is not getting the results that they want.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at math. I guess you're probably good.
Let's look at it this way. The majority of people abandon their New Year's resolutions, and I'm sure we all know that from people who we talk to, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, why do you think that happens so often?
Well, resolutions don't work because people really don't have the belief that they will work.
Yeah.
For one thing. You know, for example, you know, if you're talking about eating those rich desserts, you know, after by January 2nd, if you want to lose 30 pounds beginning New Year's Day, the question is, do you really believe it can happen, or is it just this wishful thinking?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's if you just write down a number or make some kind of a statement in isolation without really believing you're going to achieve it, probably not.
And the other thing, too, is that many times people set these goals or these resolutions that are too big or too grandiose, and it kind of shuts down the mind. So if you want to lose 50 pounds, that can sound like a daunting number. And I'm just using that because that's what a lot of people set as a resolution is to lose weight. So it can seem too big and too overwhelming, and right away the mind shuts down and it goes into, like what John said, it's never going to happen.
Yeah,
so what John
probably,
and I recommend is to chunk that down into smaller bites.
Yeah, you probably, if you set it down, I'm going to lose 1-2 pounds a week for such and such number of weeks, maybe you'd have a better chance of succeeding if you
had
some kind of a tracking device to keep track of how you're doing. Versus it.
It's more realistic. Yeah.
Yeah, but I find also that resolutions just don't work in a vacuum. If you lack the overall confidence and you have negative expectations for your life in general, you're probably not going to succeed at specific positive recommendations or resolutions that you make.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Because one of the things that Chris and I talk about a lot is that you cannot outperform your self-image.
No, that's for sure. Well, please explain how your emotional thermostat determines whether or not you can achieve the results you desire.
Well, that goes to what I was just saying, Roy, about your self-image. You can't outperform the self-image. In other words, how you see yourself is how you're going to get the results, and the results that you achieve basically are a reflection of how you see yourself. So if you can't see yourself, going back to the weight example, yourself thin, and can't emotionally and feel yourself thin, then the odds are stacked against you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know on your website you talk about emotional chain of pain, which I think is a fascinating concept, and you say it often goes back to childhood, and we often pass it on to our offspring. Tell us a little about that emotional chain of pain.
Sure. It's usually something that was either said or done to us as a child that instills some type of self-limiting belief in us. And possibly it's I'm not good enough, or I'm not enough, or I'm not lovable, can't do anything right, some type of message like that. And it's not intentional, of course, but it's coming from our parents, the messages they got, and their grandparents.
Or somebody else. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. So then when we have those self-limiting beliefs and we're not conscious of them, then we create this chain of pain that we pass it down to future generations. And that's why John and I are really big on awareness and creating awareness.
Yeah, that's you have to be. Some people talk so much about the law of attraction and positive expectations, but you have to be aware of the negative expectations that are holding you back in order to really overcome the negatives and concentrate on the positives. And I think a lot of people ignore that aspect of it.
Right. Or possibly what people do is they become aware of the negative thoughts and beliefs they have, and then they allow themselves to be stuck there.
Yeah,
it's important to move through them.
That's the worst thing, to be stuck on the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are a positive self-image and mindset makeover both so critical before you make the resolutions?
Because if you don't change your mindset, you're going to still make the same decisions and choices. So as John mentioned earlier, if you can't see yourself as being 50 pounds lighter or, you know, doubling your income or having an ideal relationship, if you really don't believe that's going to happen and you don't change the way you think and decisions that you make or have that mindset makeover, you're going to continue to make the same old choices and start to sabotage yourself.
Yeah, you know, back in, I think it was 1991, I'd had a couple of business failures and I'd been coughed out by corporate America, and I went to a counselor to advise me on how I could get a better attitude and improve my results. And he looked at me and he said, you know, if you don't believe things are going to get better, they probably won't. And if you do believe things will get better, they probably will. And I thought, what am I paying this guy all this money for this platitude? But in hindsight, he was exactly right, that it's so much in terms of your expectations and what your self-image is and whether you expect better things to happen or not.
Exactly. And John and I, both of us are midlife. I'm 54. John will be 55. So we're right at that midlife point. Many times for you, if you're at your somewhere in midlife, you may believe that, you know, my better years are behind me.
Yeah,
and again, and that's a
belief.
Right. And John and I have come to know for ourselves in midlife that our best years are yet to come.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So
well, you
it's
contend
good to
that,
change that.
You contend that resolutions don't work, but intentions do. Please explain the distinction between resolutions and intentions and why the intentions succeed, but the resolutions don't.
The real power, Roy, of intention is that you're using all the powers in life to create it in your own life. What you're actually doing is that you're injecting the result that you want with your will, and our will is extremely powerful and very underutilized by most people. And you're injecting your emotions. So when you set a goal to lose 30 pounds, it may look great on paper, and that's about all. However, when you set an intention, you are injecting it with all your emotion and beliefs and your will.
So
yes,
it's more of a
Right, emotions
it's more of a,
are such an important aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to be emotionally set and committed to your resolution or your intentions, or you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly, and that's what John and I, we have what we call our four-pronged approach to achieving the results you want. And the four prongs, the four steps have to be in alignment, and that's your thoughts and your beliefs, the words that you use, putting positive emotion into the result you want, and then taking some form of inspired action. When you have those four steps all in alignment, then you'll achieve what you want.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Words without actions and taking the initiative to make the change is not going to get you anywhere.
Exactly. You have to take that form of some type of inspired action that's coming from a place of inspiration rather than a place of fear.
Yeah, that's so tragic when we deal from fear. Well, tell us a little bit about your book and how to obtain it. I think it's fascinating. I know I previewed it on Amazon, and you have like one tip for each day of the year.
Yes, we do. We do. The book itself, where I came out of 10 years of assisting people with our life and relationship coaching practice, and we found that there were similarities with the challenges and problems people were facing. So we took the advice that we gave them and put it into a daily reader so we can reach a wider audience of people and assist them to change their lives in a positive way.
Yeah, I love a book that doesn't have a lot of flowery theory and all that. And just you open it up to day one, and you can start any day of the year, I guess. You don't have to start on January 1st. You can make January 21st day one or February 15th or whatever.
Very true.
And, give us like a couple of the tips from your book, just as an example of.
Sure.
I know there were the five that are on Amazon were very fascinating, but.
Yeah, I'll give one of the tips here, but I also would like to let you know that it's available at the website, which is 365dailytips.com. That's 365dailytips.com.
Yeah,
and,
that's the number, not written out or anything.
Right, the number 36. So one tip that I have here that I can read from the book, and you could just open the book randomly and start wherever also. So one tip is be open to being less controlling today. Select one person, situation, or outcome in your life that you are attempting to manipulate and let them or it go. Commit to do this for 24 hours, just one day. Tomorrow, see if you awaken less drained, more energized, relaxed, and even at peace. So let go of being controlling today and begin the process of trusting that all is well in your world.
Yes, how many times do you find yourself, I know myself anyway, when somebody's speaking, I'm already thinking in advance of how I'm going to reply and how I'm going to refute what that person says so that I can control them in my way of thinking instead of really opening my mind to what they're saying and maybe learning a whole different outlook on life or on that particular subject that we're maybe disagreeing on. But so I think that's an excellent tip for that day. I also like the tip, stop whining, because so many people spend so much time complaining about what's wrong or these stupid politicians doing this and that. And you know, instead of concentrating on positively addressing their own issues and changing their own lives, they're always whining about what somebody else is doing to them.
Mm-hmm. And what they're continuously doing is giving their power away. When you whine, you give your power away.
That's exactly right. Well, tell us about your website, which is also www.possibilitycoaches.com, and you have a couple of free offers on there, including a report on that chain of pain that we were talking about.
Yes, John and I at possibilitycoaches.com, we have a lot of resources on there about how to move forward in your life, how to get unstuck, and how to, if you possibly feel that you're in a rut, you know, some tools on how to do that. And we do have some free downloads and a gift there, as you had mentioned, Roy, Breaking the Chain of Emotional Pain. So, again, that's at possibilitycoaches.com.
Yeah, and that's such an important thing to get started, is to break that chain, because if you're chained into a negative way of thinking, you can't really get started on a positive outlook toward life as long as you feel tied in and constrained by something that's been bugging you for years.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And one of the big things about this report, Roy, and what Chris and I assist people with, is really the awareness that there is this emotional chain of pain is really the first and biggest step for people to create positive change. Because once you have that awareness that there is nothing wrong with you and this is something that's been passed down to you inadvertently, you realize that, you know, you can take control of your life and move it into a positive direction.
Yes, that's exactly like in my book. I talk about doing a negative inventory of everything that you feel is wrong with your life today and when it started, who was responsible, and how you might address getting out of it. Because I think until you recognize that, you can't really concentrate on the positives until you know who the enemy is, in effect. Well, certainly the intent of John and Chris as the Possibility Coaches is identical to ours at Middle Age Renewal Training, and that's a joyful, bountiful, and purpose-filled second half of life, and that's the life you so richly deserve. And I would highly recommend you visit both their website and our website, www.middleagerenewal.com, because we also offer some free gifts. And also, I'd highly recommend you preview their book, because it's something I'd like to have to, with just that one tip a day could make a huge difference in your life, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us on the program today, and we'll look forward to getting another tip tomorrow.
Thank
Great.
You, Roy, for letting
All
me
right,
share.
Thank you, Roy.
Well, our first two guests argued that New Year's resolutions, at least in their traditional form, are a waste of time. In fact, they can do more harm than good by tearing down our self-esteem when they fail. Our present guest, Carol Edmonston, says it's possible to make easy-to-keep resolutions, which can make 2013 the year you clean your slate, hit the reset button, and create new beginnings one step at a time. Carol is an expert on making the most of each and every day. She is a two-time breast cancer survivor and amazingly transformed her life while in a doctor's office waiting room awaiting her appointment. Not only will Carol help us with New Year's resolutions, she'll also introduce you to a radically different strategy for dealing with midlife stress, anxiety, and fear. Are you holding on to thoughts, perspectives, and beliefs that no longer serve you? If so, you've come to the right place. Hello, Carol, and welcome to our program.
Well, good morning, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, we'll get right into your stress reduction strategy later, but let's begin with effective New Year's resolutions. Please describe the type of resolution that will work and easy ones, as you call them, easy to keep but hugely impactful. Please give us some examples.
Well, you know, firstly, I think that so many of us tend to set such high goals for ourselves when the new year comes, you know, losing 15 pounds, quit smoking, going to the gym four times a week. And they're all very admirable goals, but they're really difficult to hang on to, and often we just tend to just let them go very quickly. I think one of the biggest keys to having effective New Year's resolutions is to keep it simple.
Yes, that's
you know,
true.
Really to you know ourselves, take a little bit of time to be introspective and look at who we are and, you know, what would be attainable. I always feel that, you know, it's much more effective instead of saying my resolution is to lose 10 pounds, is to perhaps create a New Year's resolution is I choose to make healthier choices in the food I eat.
Yeah.
And even going one step further than that, you know, eliminate one item that you that may not be the healthiest choice, like that can of soda that you like to drink every day or that one cookie, and substitute it for one healthy choice.
And give up those potato chips for the next 21 days and replace it with raspberries or something like that.
You know, it's one thing that I have done, and I've never really had a weight issue per se, but I'm always a person looking to make healthier choices in my diet. But instead of wanting that one chocolate chip cookie after dinner, I realized that if I were just to cut an apple and have an apple or a half an apple, that I would be getting that same taste of sweetness. And that's what I was really after. And an apple is by far a lot healthier choice than a cookie.
Yeah, you know, resolutions can't be totally painless. I mean, you probably have to give up a little something, but they don't have to be painful, and they don't have to be a giant sacrifice.
Right. I think we also have to just, you know, not beat ourselves up if we stumble along the way. We just, you know, pick ourselves up and continue to march forward. I kid with my husband all the time, who keeps saying he wants to, you know, stop eating sweets. And every time I turn around, I see, you know, he's nibbling on something after dinner. I keep telling him, you know, one easy thing to do is go brush your teeth and use mouthwash. It absolutely will kill the taste of anything you put in your mouth for quite a while.
That's a good idea. I never thought of that. You know, I always like to talk about cupcake scheduling, like the football and basketball coaches. You know, they schedule what they call cupcake opponents to start the season. And I think it might be good to start out slowly by having some simple objectives that you probably can meet early in the year and then build up to maybe larger targets later, because that helps build your self-esteem if you accomplish those small things.
Absolutely.
When you start out.
You know, when I had thought about New Year's resolutions, and, you know, if one wants to have more joy in one's life, well, we also have to, you know, be able to and be willing to offer something.
Yeah.
We can't just ask for something. You know,
no.
Giving and receiving is a cycle. So if you would like to have more happiness in your life and joy in your life, maybe you can offer a smile to people you pass every day in your life. And it's really an interesting thing. I walk many days a week, you know, for about 3 miles from my home, you know, down a bridle path to a lake and back. And so there are many people I pass along the way.
Wonderful.
But it's interesting when you start just saying hello to people and smile at people who generally would walk by and not say anything. And after a while, you become a little bit more outgoing and connected with them. And then after a while, you stop and have conversations. And so you feel like you have created a little bit of more joy and happiness in your own life.
Yes, I've had exactly that same situation. I like to walk also, although we don't do it in a lot colder weather than you do out in Orange County. But
right.
I found, you know, that when I stop and just say hello to somebody and smile, I feel so much better about myself the rest of the day. And I'm sure maybe I picked up that person's day just a little bit also.
Absolutely. And those are simple things that we don't think of. one other thing that I have learned to do over the years is, you know, sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with my computer, and if the phone rings sometimes, I forget to take a moment before I pick it up to say hello and just take a deep breath in and a long breath out so I can come back to a more balanced, calm state. And then I'm better able to welcome whoever it is at the other end of the phone. And it's a simple thing, but it sure changes the whole interaction with that person.
Yeah, and another thing I think is a really valuable resolution to have is to venture a little further out of your comfort zone each day, or make that a resolution that you're maybe going to meet one each week, or, you know, try something you haven't had the courage to try before. And don't beat yourself up, obviously, if you don't do it every week. But, you know, if you keep that in front of you, that's always something you could try next week if you didn't try anything this week.
Right. You know, sometimes we tend to have this list of specific things that are a little too specific.
Yeah.
You know, I need to lose 10 pounds. I need to exercise my brain a little more. Or we get too specific, and sometimes for some people it's easier just to hold on to the intention of wanting to create a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah,
I mean, I think specifics are important, but sometimes if we can hold on to what the bigger picture is, a healthier lifestyle, especially when we reach mid-age and we're journeying, you know, our biorhythms change.
Yeah.
and how we are in the world just starts to shift. So we need to be more attentive to what our own body, mind, and spirit are wanting.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to the bigger subject of making 2013 the year that you resolve to clear the slate of stress, worry, low self-esteem, and fear of the future. And you offer a highly unique solution. Please start by telling us your personal experience and how you found your way past paralyzing terror, and what can we learn from your experience?
Well, as I ventured into midlife, which I believe is just, you know, becomes a very rich spiritual adventure, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Way back in 1995, but exactly 2 years after that, I was diagnosed for a second time.
Boy, that's really scary.
It is scary, and what I came to appreciate how easy it is for us to jump into that unknown future where fear lives, and, well, what if this happens, and what if that test says this, you know,
what ifs.
All the what ifs for the which really to me represent, you know, the unknown future. At the same time, we have this tendency to look back on into yesterday's of if only I didn't eat that, you know, those two cookies every day, maybe I would have not gotten this, you know, diagnosis or all of that. But for me, the whole journey of breast cancer over the years has taught me about the most powerful place that we can live in and be in every day is the present moment, because
that's
really
the only place we can really live effectively.
Well, absolutely, and that in that space of the present moment is really where we can tap into our own inner resources, where all of our strength and courage and faith live. One day, I had gone to a doctor's appointment, and I was really nervous about, well, what if the test results say this? What will happen? And the doctor, of course, was running behind, and I was sitting in the waiting room.
They always are.
I was getting very, very nervous, and I didn't know what to do. You read a magazine that takes you 2 seconds because you're flipping through it, and I knew my vital signs.
You can't concentrate on it anyway. So.
Exactly. So I thought, well, what can I do? So I asked the nurse for a piece of paper and a pen, and I went back to my seat, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just needed to, you know, fill up the time differently than just worrying. So I just started doodling. I just started creating abstract doodles, and I got so lost in what I was doing that by the time I saw the doctor, you know, my vital signs had, you know, were normal. But more importantly for me is I realized when I left the office that I had stumbled into something powerful, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. But I did go out and buy myself a you know, spiral-bound blank journal, so and had a pen, and so I created my own doodle book that went with me wherever I needed to wait, to the doctor's appointments, waiting for radiation. I'd even have that book on a gurney if I was going into surgery. And over the course of many months, I realized that the doodling was becoming an open-eye meditation for me, that it was taking me into this quiet, still space where there was no worry about the unknown future, and I was just feeling just calm and peaceful. And for me, I am a self-proclaimed recovering perfectionist. I love beginnings, middles, and ends that make sense. And the whole journey for cancer taught me about that I can be in that middle place in the journey and not have to have a sense of knowing what the outcome would be and still feel peaceful and calm.
Boy,
which was huge
wonderful.
For me.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And in this and along the way I was creating some amazing pieces of art, which really, really surprised me, because my art skills were, do you remember growing up all those paint by the number kits?
Yeah, I remember those.
Now that's what I defined as my level of great artistic talent. So to be able to get lost in the world of abstract doodles and create beautiful art without knowing what I was doing, that gave me an appreciation for I had some creativity in myself, but I also had to ask myself the question, what did this have to do with my journey through cancer? And cancer, very similar to if you unexpectedly lose a job, a marriage, a relationship breaks up, throws you into this place of, utter not knowingness.
Yeah.
It threw you and it threw me into the middle. And in that middle is where I somehow was able to be able to let go of my need to have to know how things would turn out in order to feel safe.
Boy, that's a $100,000 prize, $1 million prize, actually, to be able to feel safe and restful and confident without knowing exactly how the future is going to turn out, which, of course, none of us do anyway.
I mean, I often say that difficulties in life do not make your life bitter. They exist to make your life better.
Yeah.
We just need to be willing to trust the journey, to know that everything we need to walk on this adventure called life, we have within us, and it's our job to still our mind, long enough to be able to tap into that inner sense of resources that each of us has.
Yeah. Well, I must admit I'm skeptical that doodling will help change my life. I've never tried that, and I bet a lot of listeners out there are skeptical too. But you mentioned that your husband is a retired orthopedic surgeon, and he at first couldn't believe that doodling was helping you get through breast cancer. Tell us why this conservative doctor isn't skeptical anymore. What happened exactly?
Oh, he absolutely was at the top of the list who thought I lost my mind.
Yeah, I would think any medical professional would be very skeptical about that.
Well, I think so much of the success of any of our journeys, especially these adventures that come into our lives very unexpectedly, we need to be able to connect mind, body, and spirit in the healing equation. We cannot just ask Western medicine to fix us and then not give ourselves the opportunity of trying to better and more deeply understand perhaps what there is for us to learn. My husband actually came to one of my workshops, and I was astonished. He is one person of all of the thousands of people that I have seen their work after doing these workshops. It created an amazing piece of art, and I thought, wow. And what I will often ask people, especially those who would raise their hand and say, yes, they perhaps are perfectionists, is to put the pen in their non-dominant hand and then create the outline and then go back and fill it in. But what my husband saw, as my father, who very much was, aligned with my husband in thinking that I had lost my mind, that doodling became such a powerful healing tool, began to appreciate and see the shifts in myself, that I was really becoming a much more calm and peaceful person, and
yeah.
It had an easier time dealing with unexpected, you know, circumstances and events. But to this day, anytime something unexpected comes into my life that kind of throws me or has the potential to throw me off a centered point, I ask myself, what did the doodles teach me? And the doodles taught me that all I need to do is have a sense of trust and faith in the creative journey known as life, and I don't need to be attached to knowing and wanting to know what the outcome and the results will be in order to you know, trust and have faith.
What a wonderful outlook on life that is. I just we can reap benefits then of doodling in our daily life, even if we're not faced with a trauma or a life-threatening illness, I presume.
Oh my goodness! I think there isn't a demographic that does not experience some degree of stress in their life. I've taken this work into schools with elementary age children, and they're wonderful. That's a very stressed out demographic because there's so much pressure to academically achieve. And to give them a tool, absolutely, and to give them a sense, because I teach doodling a little differently. I don't want you to doodle something that you visually can see, that you recognize, a tree, a car.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to create, you know, an abstract. I want you to take a pen in your hand and in 5 seconds, you know, create an outline without lifting your pen off the paper. And
okay,
then and
you how to doodle it.
And then go back and fill it in however you want. With the children, it's giving them a creative opportunity in the long run to know that each of their doodles is going to be like a unique snowflake. No two are the same.
Oh, yeah.
And each one is beautiful just the way it's been created.
Yes, just like they are.
Absolutely.
Themselves.
And, you know, I think we, except for when we're driving a car, you know, if you're waiting at a car wash, if you're waiting for an appointment, if you're waiting at the hairdresser, if
but
you're
not
waiting
while you're driving a car, I guess
right.
You'd be doodling.
Absolutely. If you're waiting to pick your children up at school, you know, you can sit there and instead of, you know, getting so antsy, like, come on, are they going to come already? Even when, you know, even with children, this is a wonderful activity to do with parents and kids and grandparents together because everyone can doodle.
Yeah.
It's pennies a day, you know, and you can
That's
do it
right.
anywhere.
It's a pretty cheap exercise, just a pen and a little bit of paper is all you really need.
I've done it, you know, many, many times at airports waiting for flights. Instead of getting so annoyed that the flight's delayed, I have no control over it. So you only have control over the choices you make in how you choose to respond.
Yeah,
and that's
and
a big key.
Had a 7-hour wait for a flight in Fort Lauderdale the other day. We should have been doodling.
It helps pass the time because, you know, truthfully, I had no choice about getting the diagnosis of the cancer. You know, some people may not have had a choice, you know, when they lost a job or a relationship. You always will have a choice in how you choose to respond. And that's where we can make, you know, so much of a difference in the quality of life that we gift ourselves.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your book, Create While You Wait, and your DVD, Sacred Doodles, and how we can obtain those. They sound like fascinating works.
Well, the Create While You Wait, the book is on the website, sacreddoodles.com,
yeah.
And it's a book that is filled with a lot of blank paper as well as the simple instructions in there on how to get started.
Yeah.
And it's small enough that it'll fit in a purse and a briefcase, and you can carry it with you every day.
Yeah.
I try and include some of the art that kids have done as well.
That's good. That's probably better than their, and oftentimes just as good as the adult art. Kids are very
the
creative.
The children, you know, I'll tell you something interesting, Roy. I told you that I was a recovering perfectionist. I had no idea I started this art in black and white, and I had no idea how to do it in color. You know, what if you started with blue? What color goes next to it? Maybe it wouldn't look right. And I did a workshop for children in the first and second grade that, so they are 7 years old, 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they have those AstroBright gel pens. So I taught them how to create their outline and then go back and fill it in. And I was walking around the room. I was just astonished how beautiful they were. They looked like stained glass. And
wow.
It was these little children that really taught me how to do this in color. And, you know, it's a wonderful experience because I went in there as a teacher and I left as a student.
Yeah, children are teaching us all kinds of things these days, like how to communicate by the phone and the text and do all those things at once. Run around the Internet and Facebook and all that kind of good stuff. But both my wife, Gloria, and I are fellow cancer survivors, so I certainly highly recommend exploring Carol's website, whether you're facing cancer or just job loss. I've been through that also, and I wish I had known this doodling technique back then because I think it probably would have helped me a lot. And it's absolutely free to try out other than pen and paper, so it's definitely worth checking into.
There's a short story. The story of my journey and the doodling is also in the Chicken Soup for Breast Cancer Survivors.
Oh,
so
you can get that book on your website as well, I guess.
Right, right, and it's readily available.
Yeah.
You know, I often end a workshop by saying, just remember, you know, a doodle a day can help keep stress away, and we all doodle.
Yeah, we do that, but consciously doodling and letting your mind really get into it, I think, would pay huge dividends, and I'm certainly going to try it myself because that's something I've never really done over the years. I've got all kinds of methods in my book to deal with stress and to wake up to life and that kind of thing, but doodling was not among the techniques I knew about, and it's really an interesting form of meditation, as you put it, and it's definitely worth trying.
Well, I think also while you're doodling, because it is, you know, sometimes people look at, well, I'm going to meditate and improve my quality of life. Sometimes it's more challenging for people to niche out the 20 minutes to sit quietly and meditate, and they feel frustrated or challenged by it. I've been, you know, a student of meditation for over 20 years. The doodling, you know, you can sit there and consciously watch your breath. When you're doodling, I really ask people to kind of, you know, check in and watch the thoughts that are going in and out of their mind, because if you're sitting and judging and being critical of the art you're creating, that's where you want to catch yourself, you know, because you'll tend to do that in life as well. Am I doodling? Is this good? Is this right? Just to get lost in it. Sometimes you can add beautiful music in the background and make this a creative meditation.
No, that would be a great transition, I would think, from a busy lifestyle and dealing with a whole bunch of problems into that meditation, is to doodle for a while and tune that all that stuff out. And then I would think meditation would become much easier for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I even went to the extreme of buying a drafting table. I was having so much fun.
That's great. Once again, that's www.sacreddoodles.com is Carol's website, and I would highly recommend it because it's definitely a new tool to put in your arsenal for living that stress-free and joyful second half of life that we always espouse on this program. And thank you so much, Carol, for joining us. And we'll all start sitting down and doing some doodling and see what we can accomplish during 2013.
Well, you're welcome. And I wish you a happy and healthy 2013.
And the same to you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.